Okay, Roy said today's daf is daf tzadik vav. At the top of the Amud, we're in the middle of a shtickle inyan, so we'll just go back for a moment to tzadik hey Amud Beis. As you recall, the focus of most of yesterday's daf was on the halacha of Rav, that basar shenis'alim min ha'ayin is osur to eat. So our Gemara told us, even though it's a s'alim min ha'ayin, if there was a tvius ayin means if the person who owned that basar recognized it, that's already sufficient for purposes of Rav's halacha of basar shenis'alim min ha'ayin. What was the concern? You'll recall Rashi said yesterday, we're afraid that maybe an oirev, a raven came and switched the kosher meat for non-kosher meat. Therefore, our Gemara says, but if you recognize it, even though nobody was watching it for a period of time, then you don't have to worry. So let's just go over that quickly, 6-7 lines from the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara gives in rapid-fire fashion three stories, which are basically all the same moral of the story. Rav Chiya bar Avin, Itbar lei karkisha. Rav Chiya bar Avin lost a karkisha. Karkisha, we said yesterday, means part of the large intestine. In the parentheses, it says beidina, which would mean he would lose it in the bezin. Unlikely that you would lose a piece of an organ of a body of an animal in a bezin. So, in fact, they have another girsa on the side, beidani. Beidani means in the wine cellar. So the person is in the middle of his suda, he's still holding on to part of his portion. He goes downstairs to the wine cellar, brings up a bottle of wine or a large barrel of wine, and he leaves over his karkisha, but he finds it, Baruch Hashem, a week later, and it's still fresh. Can you believe it? And he says to himself, "Oi, it's a basar shenis alim min ha'ayin. I haven't seen it in a week." Says Yimor Asla Kamad Rafuni, went to Fred Rafuna, Amalei, Islach Simne Begavei. Do you have a simon to show that this was yours all along? Amalei, lo, I have no simon. Islach Tvius Aina Begavei, but do you have a Tvius Ayin? Do you recognize it? Amalei, again, yeah, I recognize it. In Kain, Zilshko, you can take it for yourself. You don't have to worry about Basar Shinis Alim Min Ayin. The Gemara gives a second example, almost word for word, the same. Rav Chanina Chayzah, Itbad Lei Gaba De Bisra, he lost the back of a piece of flesh, of a piece of meat. I'm not exactly sure what the back of the flesh is, but whatever it was. Also, the comment of Nachman, Omalei, Islach Simna Begavei, do you have a Simon? Omalei, Loi. Islach Tvias Einem Begavei, do you have Tvias Ayin? Omalei, and yes, I recognize it, definitely. In Kain, Zoshko, you can take it, you don't have to worry about the Inyan of Basar Shinis Alim and Ayin. And now the Gemara introduces that this halacha could be used in a parallel situation, not involving flesh, but of Nosam Barabaya, it bedlei kibura detchalta. Kibura is a spool. Detchalta, of course, is tchelis, thread that you use for a talis. Also, the comment of Chizda, Amalei Islach Simne Begavei, do you recognize it? Amalei Loi. I have no simen. I'm sorry, I said, do you recognize it? Do you have a simen? No, I have no simen. Islach Tvias Eine Begavei, but do you recognize it? Yeah, sure, Avada. Look, certainly looks like mine. Mkein Zilshkoil, you don't have an issue. You can take it, and you can assume that it's kosher. It's kosher tchelis and not kola ilan. Kola ilan, Gemara always uses as a yarn or as a thread, which looks similar to tchelis, but really is not tchelis. Anyway, if you have tvi asayin, this is good. You can take it and use it. Zot Gemara, Mkein Zilshkoil. So Omer Rava, two lines at the bottom. Mareisha Havamina. In the beginning, in other words, in earlier years, when I was learning this whole sugya, I always thought that simna adiv. Simen is better than tviyasayin. Why is it better than tviyasayin? No? The madrinan avedis of a simna, because we give back an aveda based on a simen. That's, of course, the whole basis of the second parak in Masechtas Bava Metzia, that you don't have to have simonim on your article of clothing or anything else that you lost, as long as you have a simen, is ochkit. However, madrinim b'tviyasayinim, but you don't give back based on tviyasayin. If someone says, I have no simit, but I recognize this shirt, I recognize this fork, yes, it's certainly mine. Can you prove it? I can't prove it, but I recognize it. So by a regular individual, we do not give it back based on tviyasayin, only based on simanim. Toises, of course, reminds us that, and Ramosha Chaim, who's here, also reminds us, that the Gemara in the beginning of Eilu Metzias tells us that if you have a Talmud Chochem, and not any Talmud Chochem, Talmud Chochem is defined as he does not go and lie except for three separate cases. Yeah, let's share. Let's hear. Let's hear.
The Suda was good. And also, how much you know? How many Metzias they finished?
So Rav Moshe Chaim reminds us: what are those three things that a person, even at Talmud Chochem, is allowed to go and tell a shtickel, what we would call a white lie? And what are those three things? The first thing we said was pariah, yushpiza, where he ate a suda, and the third one is belimud. How much he learned? If someone said that you learned the whole shas, yeah, no, I'm still working on it, etc. He does not have to go and show off. Anyway, Rav Moshe Chaim says he doesn't have that problem of having to say a lie. He says because in fact, yeah, but that's not listed in that Gemara. That you have Masechtas Ksuvos. That was Poria was number one. Poria Ushpiza and by Limud. Okay. Anyway,
the first one
was Bapuria. Puria is a machlok, is exactly what Puria means, where he slept last night, or whether he had relations, etc. So anyway, the point is there are three things that you are allowed to go, and even a Talmud Chochem is allowed to say a white lie. He doesn't have to go and show off. He doesn't have to, because of tznius, to tell people. And therefore, he is believed b'tvius ayin, but not by a regular individual. Why takayin you not believe by a regular individual? After all, we said that you believe him by the karkisha. We believe him the gabe de bistro. We believe him the gabe the case of the tchelis. Why don't we believe him when it comes to aveda? Says the top Rashi, very simple, because an aveda, maybe the person is being mishaker because of chimud mamayim, the fact that the Torah has to have a part of the Aseres HaDibros, loisachmayim, don't have a lust, a desire for somebody else's possessions, is a chasim, and then unfortunately that's human nature, that people do have a chimud mamayim, people are jealous of others. And so therefore, says our Gemara, look, says top Rashi, see the top Rashi, top line to this ain't the column. Shnosen data la kira bekol umi aveda loyal finan. Why don't we learn from aveda that we do not trust or do we not rely on tvias ayin? Tosa mishem chimed mamon chayshinan doma mishaker. The Amar gezel v'royis nav. The royis nav shishol odem misav lahen. Oh, machmedos. Exactly.
He himself fools himself.
So my mechitin says it doesn't necessarily have to be because he is jealous of somebody else, but eretzacha means he goes and convinces himself that this really belongs to him and he deserves it and it really looks like his, etc., etc. Even though it's just a figment of his imagination. Okay, let me get right to it. Anyway,
all these stories describe Rabbeim.
Yes, yes.
So we can't learn from here to a hedger, to a commoner, that they have the same tvius ayin would be valid for any yon of a pisser or hetzer.
Okay, why not?
Because these are all Rabbeim. These are all. The fact he introduced the Gemara from Bar Metzia, you saw there's two classes of credibility, and Rabbeim have a higher level, and to be assigned by Aveda, so maybe also here they have a higher level
Okay, so what you're saying is 100% correct. Okay. When we learned Eilu Metzias, the reason why Talmud Chochem is believed on Tvias Ayin, not because his Tvias Ayin is any better than Amoritz's Tvias Ayin, could be in terms of their familiarity, their being able to discern and recognize their clothing or their object is exactly the same. In fact, maybe the Amoritz has even a better feel for his clothing or his objects, etc. The reason why we believe in Talmud Chochem is because we assume he's not mishaker, and because of his nemonis, because of the strength of his integrity and his honesty. So we assume, unless of course we find a Talmud Chochem that unfortunately does say fibs from time to time about this, that, and the other thing. Therefore, if we have noticed that he's only mishaker in those three inyanim that we spoke about, then that's okay. Then we rely on his honesty. But otherwise, the tvias ayin is exactly the same, one to the other. That there might be two different levels of tvias ayin, that's the top toisis, and perhaps that's what you were alluding to, Barry. The top toisis says, Tema Dishani Hasam, you know why by Aveda Metzia we don't rely on tvias ayin? the chashdinan lay. In other words, what's bothering Tosis is Rav has said on the bottom and now on the top of the Amid that Meresha, in the beginning, I always thought that Siman is better than Tvias Ayin. Why? Because we give back an Aveda based on a Siman, but not based on Tvias Ayin. So Tosis says, you know, why? Not because Siman is better than Tvias Ayin inherently, but the reason is because by a Siman, there's no Shema Yishake, because if he can go and identify exactly that it has a yellow spot on the top and a green dent on the bottom, so then obviously he's not being Mishaker, he recognizes it. So that's the reason why, because he has Simanim. The reason why by Tviyasai might taka be better than Simon, or at least just as good. The reason why by Aveda we don't allow to give back an Aveda based on Tviyasai is because Shema Yishaker. So what's the Raya? So Tosis is bothered by that. Tema. The Shani Hosam, the Choshdinale. I'm Choshit. Dilma Mishaker, Shaini Shaloi. Maybe he's telling a fib. The Halitzuma Rabbanim Madrin with Tviyasaini. You see by Talmud Chocham, you do give it back. So you see Tviyasaini is at least as good as Simani, maybe even better. So I don't understand why Rava thought initially that Simanim are better than Tviyasaini. Vyeshloima the Chocham might be Tviyasaini Kolduhu. Here we're talking about not a strong level of recognition, but rather a weaker, a lesser form of recognition. Where he says, what are you talking about? I own this shirt for the last 20 years. I can tell you exactly where the button is missing and where there happens to be a slight stain from my pen that's always there in the same pocket. He really recognizes it, Tvias Ainah the Gomer. Our Gemara is talking about this Karkisha, you know, this was, or Gabad the Bisra. After all, how many times he eat Karkisha? Presumably this wasn't his the only time in his life. Presumably he had that, you know, frequently. So to go and say that he had familiarity, I mean, just passing familiarity, you know, it looks exactly like the same, like all the Karkishas my wife serves me every Friday night. So that's, so it wasn't a deep, embedded type of Tviyas Ayin. Karkisha was yesterday's Gemara. We missed you, and you missed it. Okay, so then you should ask yourself, what did you learn last night? It's a part of the large intestine. It's a part of the large intestine. Exactly. Anyway, please come in early so you won't have all these questions. If they really had Tvias Ayin Gomer, my hoyulem lishol. Why did the first man, the Omer of Chibar Avin, go and ask Rav Huna? He should have answered the Teretz himself. I mean, if they felt so comfortable that this is absolutely the Karkisha he left there a few days ago, or this was the same Gaba the Bistro, the same spool of Tcheles, why are they even asking a Shaala? So for these purposes, for Kasher's purposes, and for the Haluch of Rav, Boshin Salman Ayin, at Tvias Ayin Koldu was showing Yinik. Anyway, getting back to Yomar. That's an extra. Now that I heard these three shtiklach toides as Rava, then each time the Rabbanan Paskin, you can rely on Tvias Ayin. Minut Tvias Ayin Adifa. The Tvias Ayin is even better than the Inyan of Simanim. Diloite Mahachin, I'll bring you even further ayas. Hey Chasuma Mutami Ishtai, how can a blind person ever live at night together with his wife? Or even regular Bnei Yodim, Hey Mutar Minishay Sayim Balaila, assuming that all the lights have been turned off and there is no Levuna outside, and therefore, so how can he go and live with his wife? Chas v'shalom, maybe it's another lady. Ela b'tvias eina dekala. There is no tvias eina with sight. By a Summa, there's never sight, unfortunately. And even Bnei Yodim at night, they can't see their wives. So it's only the call that they recognize. Oh, it's my wife, it's Yenti. Or it's my wife, Gnendel. Oh, then it's okay. Hacharami tvias eina, therefore we can rely on tvias ayin. Legabi Isurim, like the three cases on the bottom. Zokimar Amrav Yitzchok Barei Dera Mishasha. Teda, I'll bring you a further riot. Dil Osu Beitrei, the Amri, Planya Dai Hai Simna, Vahai Simna, Kotel Nafshel Le Kotlinen Le. What happens if Chas V'Shalom Nebuch, there was a murder in town? Rachmana Litzlan. And the police have caught someone and they feel very comfortable and very confident that he is the Reitzeach. But of course, to go and execute a person like that, you have to have a Pishnayim Edim. So you have to have two Edim. So the two Edim come and say, do you recognize this individual? No. So why are we even here in Bezim? Because although we don't recognize them, but we have simanim. What are the simanim? We remember we were there, unfortunately, at the time of the Ritzicha, and that person was very tall. He was 6'2", and he looked like he was 385 pounds, and he was wearing a blue shirt. So they have all different types of simanim. They may even say they had a scar under his nose or under his toes or whatever. The point is they have various simanim, but they do not recognize him. Says our Gemara, based on that, the absence of recognition, even if they have five simanim, you cannot execute that individual. And that's what Rav Yitzchak Bar Brein Mersharsha says, Teda, Dilu Asutrei, two Edom come, and they say, Planya, that fellow that did the Ritzicha, Hay Simne, we remember he was 6'2", and 385 pounds, blah, blah, blah. We will not give Misa based on those simanim. However, Vilo Amri, Islan Tvias Einem Begave. Yeah, of course we recognize him. We know exactly who that is. He lives down the street. We know him for the last couple of years, sure. We know exactly what his whole Hulach Yelach is. We recognize him. Then Katlin and Lech. Then you would give him. Yeah, but they didn't have any simanim. Tvias Ayin is stronger and better than simanim. Yes, Ariel.
Well, I don't understand they could execute based on recognizing him, but I thought they need the Hasra and all of that stuff.
And there was the Hasra and all of that stuff. And they say, we know exactly who that was because we recognize Yankel Schmidt and we know him for a number of years. He davens in the same shul with us. It's true, he only comes Yom Neiroim, but he does daven with us and we know exactly who he is. And we saw, unfortunately, he was the one that pulled the trigger on the gun. Do you have any siman? I don't have to give you siman. I know him. I see him in the morning. I say good morning. He says good morning back. I know. So that's enough for purposes of Misa. Obviously, they had to have been there at the time of the Ritzicha, and they say, yes, 9 o'clock in the morning. It was there on the corner of 63rd Street and on West End Avenue, on Broadway, whatever. So they have to go and answer to all of the bedikas and chakiris that we're going to ask him in Bezin, for sure. But at bottom line is, we do not need simanim on his body in any way, shape, or form. It's enough that they say we recognize him, and that's enough. So Tvias Ayin is better than the case of simanim. And then Rav Ashi goes and gives a much more practical situation, not dealing chas v'sholem with Misa. Teda, the ilo omalei inish l'shluchei, kari l'planya, l'haisim l'vahaisimna. I want to invite somebody to a chasana. And the chasana last night was beautiful, gorgeous. But now we want to invite to a second chasana. And what did he do? And he said to the shliach, the postman, or the messenger, and he says to him, I want you to go and invite Yanko Schmidt to my chasana. Not the Yanko Schmidt to Ritzeach in the previous Gemara. A wonderful Yanko Schmidt, a real good guy. So now the shliach says, I'd be happy to go and invite him to the chasana, but I don't know who he is.
Who is?
I'll give you simanim. He's 6'2" and he's 385 pounds, and he's so he sends that shliach to that other town, to Hoydin Anish, or to Kishkin Holosh, to invite him to the chasana. So he says, Inish Omale Teda, the Ilu Omar Le Inish Lishluchai, a person says to his shliach, Kari Laplanya, please invite that individual. I want to meet with him. I want to come to the chasana. The Haisimna of Haisimna, and I'll give you all the simanim, exactly what it looks like. Safik Yodale, Safik Le Yodale. When he comes to that other town to go and invite him, it's a big Safik whether he'll ever find him, because he doesn't know. Anyway, so Safik Yodale, Safik Le Yodale. I don't know if he's ever going to go and find that individual to invite to the chasana. Vile Islay Tvias Einabigave. However, if that messenger says, sure, I know Yankel, he's a friend of mine, you know him, still from Chayde, from 20 years ago, I remember him very well. Nuki Chazli, as soon as he sees him, he's like, ah, Yankel, I've been looking for you the whole day, up in town, up and down town. I finally find you. Here I have a chasan invitation for you. Oh, you could have just emailed it. Sorry, my internet wasn't working, we couldn't send the email. So here you have the chasan invitation. So you see, Tvias Ayin is stronger, not only cases of Chas V'Sholem, of executing someone, but on a practical level. You want to send somebody a message, Tvias Ayin is better than Simanim. Yes, sir? Question?
It's not the same, because in the case of invitation, it's Das Lishol. You can ask people. In the case of a murderer, they're not asking him to introduce himself before he commits the murder.
Certainly the facts of the situation are different. The point that we're talking is, what is more reliable, Tvias Ayin or Simanim? You can go and describe someone von Han bis morgen. That means from today to tomorrow, give him 100 simanim, what he looks like, and you'll tell him that he's a big Talmud Chacham, and I remember him still from Cheder, or from high school, or from college, or yeshiva, or whatever, and he's a wonderful guy, and he smiles, all of that is beautiful. All you have to tell him, Yankush, oh, I know Yankush, you don't have to describe him to me, I know him very well, sure, I see him, I know. If you recognize somebody, it's much more likely that you're going to find him than better than all the descriptions and all the simanim in the world. Okay. Right. Yeah, but the simanim for the Nachum Yifriya.
Because she gave over the simanim.
Right.
So she, a
pealucha. Yeah. That's why you can rely on simanim. That's why you can rely. Okay. On to the next mission. Zuk to Mishnah Vayter. We're talking about eradicating the Gid Hanosha from the Kaf HaYorech, and the question is, how much is considered to be Gid Hanosha? If you remember at the beginning of the Perek, there was a picture in the Art Scroll Gemara showing that the Gid Hanosha starts all the way from the end of the spinal column, the spinal cord, and it goes all the way down to close to the hooves of the animal. It was very, very, very long. See, like all the way down. That's the Gid Hanosha. Can you imagine? That's the Gid HaPanimi. That's called the Gid HaChitzoin, and this is called the Gid HaPanimi. And that's only Iker. That's the only Issa Min HaTorah. The Chum made a Gzeira on the Gid HaChitzoin. Why? Because just like you're confused, other people would be confused. Anyway, so the Gid goes all the way from the top to the bottom. So the question is, another time, okay? Back to our Mishnah. So, Nochma, Gid Hanosha Tzerich Sheyitzel Eskula. You have to remove the entire Gid Hanosha from top to bottom. Or Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Kedei L'Kayim Boi Mitzvus Netila. You don't have to remove the whole thing. You only have to go Mi Mekayim, the minimum of Mitzvus Netila. But that Mishnah doesn't tell us what that minimum is. So you remember back in Tzadik Beis, Omid Beis, we had a Braisa that in fact addresses this head on, or at least Gid Hanosha on. If you go back to Tzadik Beis, Amid Beis, just for a short moment, in the middle of the Amid, you'll see in the middle of the line, it says, Disanya, there's a Braisa. Gid Hanosha Mechatet Achra Bechol Mokim Shehu. The Gid Hanosha, you have to be Mechatet. Mechatet means you have to go and dig deep, deep into the bowels of this Yerech, to find every little shtickle Gid Hanosha, and not only the Gid Hanosha itself. V'choytech sham l'meikari, also the shuman, meaning all the chelev arum and arum. Everything has to go and be removed. Uviyar taharam mikirbecha divrei Reb Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, no, goyme moi imashoyt. We've had the term goyme moi a few times. Goyme moi means just to go and level it off at the top, to scrape it off at the top. You only have to remove that top part of the Gid Hanosha which protrudes from the chelev, because most of the Gid Hanosha is embedded either in chelev in the fat, or it's embedded in the basar. It's only at the very outset that you have a nice portion of the sciatic nerve of the Gid Hanosha that you see. Says Rabbi Yehuda, you only have to go and level it off the top. You don't have to go deep into the yerech. And the same thing applies not only at the outset, but from time to time, that Gid Hanosha protrudes from the chelev or from the basar as it goes down to the bottom of the leg. Each time you find Ashtikla Gid Hanosha, go and remove that from the top, says Rabbi Yehuda, but that's all you need to do. You do not need to go any deeper into the Yerech. So therefore, that's the same Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah that says you only have to mekayim the mitzvah of, I shouldn't see any more Gid Hanosha, I shouldn't be tempted to eat it. Only problem with the Gid Hanosha is where it's protruding, where it's visible. As long as it's embedded inside, is not an issue. So therefore, getting back to our Mishnah, says the Tanakam, which is the same as that Reb Meir, that you know to Gid Hanosha, you have to take kuloi, the ganze masa. You only have to go and do kind of a superficial removal of Gid Hanosha wherever you see it on the Yerech, but you don't have to go deep into it. Now that was talking about removing it. Now what happens if a person actually eats the Gid Hanosha? So we have this part of the Mishnah already earlier on, Ha'oichu mi Gid Hanosha kizayis, if you ate a full kizayis, soifigarboim, you go and get malchus. What happens if acholoi, acholoi means you ate the entire Gid Hanasha, the Ein Bo Kezayis. However, it was a small animal, maybe like a baby animal. So you take out the whole Gid Hanasha, you roll it all up, and you see that it doesn't even add up to a shear of a Kezayis. Vosok the Tanekama, you're a Chayav. Why? As we'll see in the Gemara, because, as Brother Shai is telling us, because it's a beria. He's eating the entire Isur. And Rashi always brings the case of the Nimala, and Bill always asks the same question. Nimala, an ant, is a live creation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So of course that's a beria. However, when you're talking about the Gid Hanasha, it's not a live beria. The Gid Hanasha doesn't run around. So that's absolutely true. But the word beria, as used in Chazal, doesn't necessarily mean, excuse me, a live, animate animal or rodent or even insect. Beria just means of the full package of the Isur. That this Isur is an Isur Chomer, an Isur Choshev. And according to Tanakama of our Mishnah, as long as you eat the entire package, even though the whole thing together is less than a Shir Kezayis, you're still Chayv. If you're wondering, where do you say that you have that entire package and where don't you? That's the bottom toisis that goes into this in some detail. Why? If you look at the bottom toisis, my timer, skip two lines, in the middle of the line, im toimar. Maishno de eva menachai, vo'if tome, v'gid, v'sheretz chashibi tvei, beria, min avela, tohoire b'misasa b'kezayis. V'chashibi beria. How come by Nevela we don't call it a barrier? How come by Tevel don't we call it a barrier? Vos epis by Giranosh is your barrier and this your was nisht. Anyway, Ayin Toises, he gives a whole bunch of Makoiris why there's a distinction. But the Tanakam of Aaron Mishnah hold that a whole Giranosh, even though it's Bakal Mikol Kol, it's less than a Shir Kezayis. If you ate the whole thing, you're Chayv. Rabbi Yehuda, by the way, disagrees, as we've had in the Gemara before, and as we'll have in the Gemara on the Amid Beis, and Mietz Hashem. Continuing on, what happens if you have an animal that has two hind legs? In fact, any normal animal always has two hind legs, a normal animal, of course. What happens if you ate a kezayis from the right, then you ate a kezayis from the left? The Tanakama hold that the Gid Hanasha applies to both legs of the animal. So, achumizekezayis, said v'kshemoinim. You get 80, two times Malchus. We had this already before. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Einu Soifik Ela Arboim. We had a whole discussion whether Rabbi Yehuda is Mitzad Sofik or is it Mitzad Vadai. And the Gemara concluded the Mitzad Vadai that he holds that the only one that is Osir is the Gid Hanasha in the Yerech HaYamonis. And the Gemara brought two Psukim. The basic is because it says Asher Akaf HaYorech with a capital Hey. That capital Hey tells us only on the Amini, not on the Smalim. So therefore, even if you ate both of them, you only get Malkus for one of them, that being the right one. So now, we started off the mission that there's a machlok between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, how far do you have to eradicate the Gid Hanasha? So he had a machlokus between the Tanakam, which is Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara tells us a story now about Bar Piuli. Bar Piuli, says Rashi, that was his name, and he was involved in Nikur. Nikur means, in Yiddish they say Zitreiberin, and in English to devein, meaning to remove the vein, in this case to remove the Gid Hanasha. And make sure you do a good job, because if you didn't do a good job, your work will be in vain. Anyway, so Bush State, the Gabi de Parpiuli, and Nishkechapta was again, Havikoi Kamei de Shmuel. He was in front of Shmuel, the Kamenakir Atma. And he was taking, in fact, the thigh, the yerech of the animal, and he was doing Nikur, removing from it the Gid Hanasha. Havikoi Goyim Lei. Oh, he was doing Goyim. He was just leveling it off on the top, doing somewhat of a superficial job, which is exactly what Rabbi Yehuda required, as we saw back on Ayin Beis, Amid Beis, and like Rabbi Yehuda says in our Mishnah, no kidei v'kayim by mitzvahs n'tila. So he only did that leveling off on the top and removing that shtiko Gid Hanasha. Is Omalei, so when Shmuel witnessed that, he says, chois beitvei, go deeper, eradicate, remove, eliminate any vestige of the Gid Hanasha. Obviously Shmuel holds like Rameir that says, like we said in the Mishnah, Tzor Shiito as Kulay.
Kulay.
So now Shmuel gives a little bit of an admonition, a little bit of criticism towards Bar Piuli. He didn't mean it as criticism, but he said, Hash Alechaz Isach, if I would not have been here to observe your Nikor Safisal Yisura, you would have fed me Isser, because you would have given me all the rest of the Giranosha that you did not remove. Bar Piuli, hearing this from Shmuel, Shmuel being the Godel Hador, especially after Rav passed away, so then, yes, exactly, so Bar Piuli felt very, very bad, and he said, and he didn't even say anything, Irsis, he was so nervous and shaking, Chil Ura Oda Yoichezen, hearing the Godel Hador say, you did a poor job, Nofel Sakina Miyodi, the whole sakin that he was using to extricate the, and excavate the Giranosh, and Nebuch fell down. So Shmuel now felt a little bit bad. So Amalei, like Tirsis, you don't have to be afraid. Now Rashi says, why was he Mirsis from what Shmuel said? He was afraid that Shmuel considers him, meaning the Bar Piuli, to be either an Am Oretz or a Rasha.
Why a Rasha?
Because he doesn't do a good job on the Gidon Asha, leaving 90% behind. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi is about three lines afterwards. Says Gemura in the Rashi. You see the Rashi. Amalei loy tirtis is aitis.
Yes.
Vus might loy. Vus is the base ayin hay. Ba'amaretz. Right. So he said loy tirtis. Don't worry. Loy ba'amaretz. V'loy barashin ichashda chas v'sholim bar piuli. I know you're a fine mensch. And erlechayid. I see the way you daven. I see the way that you learn the dav. I see the way you give tzedukah. I see you're a wonderful guy. Obviously, we have a difference of opinion. The Oyri Lach, whoever taught you, Hilchis Nikr, taught you, Kereb Yehuda. The Rebbe Yehuda says you only have to be Goyman, might be Bachutz. Oyri Lach, I'm sorry. The Oyri Lach, Kereb Yehuda, Oyri Lach, whoever taught you, Hilchis Nikr, taught you like Rebbe Yehuda. And, however, I hold like a mayor that you have to go and really do a proper Chatita, like we had in the Mishnah. Amr of Sheshis. May the Shoku Bar Piuli the Oraisa. So Rav Sheshis says, we all heard the story, we heard the dialogue over here, and I want to tell you, Rav Sheshis, says Rav Sheshis, I'm going to explain to you what the differences of opinion are. May the Shoku Bar Piuli, that Bar Piuli removed that degree of Giranosha, that's the Oraisa, Rav Yehuda. It's the Oraisa like Rav Yehuda holds, like it says in our Mishnah, Kidei L'Kayim by Mitzvah Natila. And Ayin Beis, we said you only have to be Goyim Amoy Yim HaShoyfi, just on the top, you have to remove the top part, but that's a Ginuk. Now, since Rav Sheshis said that this is the Oraisa L'Rabbi Yehuda, it's Mashma that Rabbi Yehuda, in fact, holds that's Minat Torah. But Midrabanan, you got to take off more than that. And therefore, the Gemara is being Medaik in the words of Rav Sheshis, Mechlal, the Shai de Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda, since Rav Sheshis said that Bar Piuli took out the Diarais of Rabbi Yehuda, it's Mashma, he was Makayim, the biblical requirements, but he didn't take of the rabbinic, the Dirabbanan requirements. Noi Bazoi, Ela de Oirele, Kiman Oirele. So who was his teacher? Obviously, if the person is telling him Hilchas Nikr, he's not teaching him the Mishnah and the Gemara, he's teaching him Halacha Lamaisa. And if Yehuda holds Halacha Lamaisa, you got to do more than just Goyimimoy. So how did his teacher tell him something wrong? In other words, here Shmuel is trying to justify the actions of Bar Piuli. He says, oh, you must have heard this from your Rebbe, your Halacha teacher, who's teaching like Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda didn't say that. Rabbi Yehuda says, that's Minat Torah, but Midrabanan, apparently you have to do more than that, according to what Rav Sheshis is now implying. Says Igmara, you're right. Ela Omer Rav Sheshis. Rav Sheshis, in fact, said something different. He didn't say, my deshokel bar piuli deraisa l'Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi said, my deshokel bar piuli is the oiraisa. What he did was he removed the deraisa. My deshayer drabanan, that's l'Rab Meir. The Rabbi Yehuda filim drabanan shari. What the Gemara is telling us is, and what Rav Sheish is telling us is, that really, min ha-toira, there's no machloikis between Rab Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rab Meir holds that min ha-toira, all you have to do is t'kirei l'kayim mitzvahs netila. You only have to do the minimum, whatever you see the gidanosha protruding, that's what you have to devein. Nothing more than that. Midrabanan! Rabbi Yehuda says, nothing different. The Rabbanan didn't add any additional chumris and gzeirois. All you have to do is goyim boy im ha'shoyfi, superficially, you remove it at the top. Remeira was saying, no, the Rabbanan made a special gezeidim, it's a special takana, that you have to take out everything. You have to really be mechatet achrav until the last molecule, the last atom of that kidanotcha, which you have to go and remove. So that's what Rav Sheshis was saying, that what he took out was diraisa. And with that, he was mekayim Reb Yehuda, just like Shmuel said, because Reb Yehuda holds, you don't need to do any more than goyim moy, even midrabban, because Rabbanan didn't add any additional layer of chumrah. However, Reb Meir holds it, yes, you do have to remove more. Says Shmuel, I hold like Reb Meir, that midrabban, you have to remove more, and you didn't, and therefore, I'm not going to eat from it unless you keep on chois beitvei, dig deeper and take out every last drop of kiranash. Says Shmuel, I know that the sciatic nerve goes all the way from the hips and the loins and the spinal cord all the way down to the bottom, almost to the bottom of the feet. According to the picture in the art scroll, it goes to the equivalent of a human ankle. By the Hamas, their ankle is higher up, the Akuva Tachtoina, which we had earlier on, goes even beyond that, but further down. But it doesn't go to the actual feet itself, just right above the feet. So says the Gemara, Om Shmuel le'asotera el shalakaf bulvot. No. You don't, the Isser is not all the way down to the bottom. You only have to be careful not to eat sha'al ha'kaf bulvot. Al-kaf, the word kaf literally means spoon, and we've had this already a few days ago in the Gemara, that it means that on top of the yerach being the upper thigh bone, otherwise known as the femur, so on that, or the fibia, so on that top bone, there's a layer of, first of flesh, then there's a layer of fat, and then you have that sciatic nerve, you have the gid hanasha. Initially, the gid hanasha protrudes, and you see it on the top, because it is not embedded yet in the rest of the flesh, and in the rest of the chelv. But as the sciatic nerve goes downwards towards the bottom of the leg, then it does get embedded and you don't see it any longer. Mm-hmm. Says Shmuel, the only part of the Gid Anasha which is awesome in HaTorah is that part which is Al-Kaf Bilvad, Kaf meaning that layer of flesh and of Shmaltz and of Chalib, which is above the upper part of the Yerach.
Here's the picture.
Sure. You see what it says here?
Yeah.
Which I do? Kaf Yerach. This is the Kaf Yerach over here.
Oh.
So that part of the nerve which is on top of this, this part of here, that's the one
that's it, and all this is
right, exactly, that's Shmuel. They also tell you Al-Kafayu, B'vod Shinemar, because it says in the Pasuk, Al-Kain, Lo-Yoich, B'nai Yisrael, that's Gid Anosha, Asher Al-Kafayorech, oh, whatever the Kafayorech. But you don't have to, the any part which is lower than that, there is no Isra, Shinemar Al-Kafayorech. Omra Papa Kitanoi, so the Papa says that this Halach of Shmuel, in fact, is a Machloikis Tanoi. What's a Machloikis Tanoi? We're going to have Rabbi Yehuda again, and this time we're not going to have Ramey, we're going to have the Rabbanon. A question whether this is the same as Rabbanon or not, we'll see. Zoktimar, Omer HaPapa Kitanoi. What's the Machlokes tonight? So part of this we've already said in the Mishnah, Acholoi Ve'ein Boi Kezayis. One happens if you eat the entire Gid Anasha from top to bottom, and it was not a full Kezayis, you're still Chayiv anyway. Why? Because it's a barrier, according to the Rabbanon. The Yehuda Oymeno Adshiyeh Boi Kezayis, the Yehuda respectfully disagrees, you always have to Kezayis. My time of the Rabbanim, what's the base of the Rabbanim? Because Beri, like we said before, it's an entire Isser. When you eat an entire Isser, even though it's not a Kezayis, you're Chayiv, as if you're eating a Nemol. But Rabbi Yehuda, Achilek Siva Beit. Rabbi Yehuda says, I disagree, because since it says in the Pasuk, okay, La Yoichlu B'nai Yisrael Eskira Nosha, Lashon Achila always, Kol HaTorah Kulos B'Kezayis. Whether you're eating chazer, you're eating nevela, whether you're eating anything which is non-kosher, it's always the sheer kezayis. And lahavdil, if you're doing a dvar mitzvah, and you want to know if you have to go and bench, or you have to go and say a brach achroina, etc., you always measure with the kezayis. By benching, there's a machlek, there's a meir b'yehudo, that's a kezayis kebeya. But standard achila is always the sheer of the kezayis. So here too, alkinla yoichlo, you want to be oivan gid anasha, you have to have achila b'kezayis. Rabbanon, what do the Rabbanan do with that Le'yachlo? The Chayr of Yehuda has a good point. They say, no. We, of course, we agree it says Le'yachlo. But Ahi Achila, the Chi Ispei Arba V'Chamisha Zaysim, V'Ochel Chad Kizayis Machayit. What happens if you didn't have a tiny little giranosha? If you had a huge giranosha from a big axe, and that giranosha in its entirety is 4 kazesim, 5 kazesim, or more. So I might think you're only over if you eat the entire giranosha. No, okay, lo yoichlo. As long as you eat a sheer kazayis is enough. So therefore, according to Rabbanan, you're over on the lesser of the two. Lesser of the two is if you either have a kazayis or you have a beria. Even though the beria is less than a kazayis, if you eat the entire beria, then you're over. And the same thing in reverse. What happens if the whole beria, the whole giranosha is 2, 3, 4, 5 kazayisim? As long as you eat a kazayis, you're over. So it's a lesser of the kazayis or the shear of the full beria. Rabbi Yehuda, mi'asher al kaf hayorech nafke. How does Rabbi Yehuda know that halacha, that even though it's 4 or 5 kazayisim, you only have to be eat 1 kazayis and your oiver? He cannot learn it from Alkin le'yoichlu, because he already learned le'yoichlu to tell us that other din, that even though the entire ginanosha, the whole beria, is a 3/4 of a kazayis, that's not enough. You're only oiver and get malchus if you eat the full share of the kazayis. That's what he learns from the achila tzivavei. So, Ibazoi, how does he know that if you have 4 or 5 kazayisim, you're oiver on 1 kazayis? He learns in Ashar Kafa Yorech. And this Ashar Kafa Yorech, this is like Shmuel that we had on the... Shmuel's going to be according to Rabbi. Yehuda me Ashar Kafa Yorech Nafka. So what does that mean, Ashar Kafa Yorech? Says Rashi, even if the entire amount that he ate from the Yerech was not 4 or 5 kazayisim, he only ate what was there on the top of the Kafa Yorech, which only added up to 1 kazayis, that's also sufficient. That's why the Torah tells us, Ashar Kafa Yorech, that as long as you eat a kazayis, you don't have to eat that. The ganza, 1 kazayis is already enough. Rabbanan, what did Rabbanan do with Mashar Kafa Yorech? That the entire isser of the giranosha to eat is not the entire giranosha from top to bottom. It's only that part of the giranosha which is on top of the Kafa Yorech. That if you eat that, then Chas V'Shalom you get malchus for being over an isser of eating get hanosha. That's what a Yehuda Shal Kafa Yorech. Reb Yehuda, what does he do? Hayorech siv, the kuli yorech. Said Reb Yehuda, I respectfully disagree. Since it said in the pasuk Hayorech with a capital Hey, it comes to tell you that the entire gid from top to bottom is the din of giranosha. So if you eat any of that, you'll be chayiv on the din of giranosha. Rabbanon, what did they do with the al kafi yorech hayorech with a capital Hey? Ahuda pashri surei bekule yorech lafuke chitzoin deloy. So Rabbanon saying, because as we saw in the picture before, that there, in fact, in the Kafa Yerech, there are 2 such sciatic nerves. One of them is what we call the Panimi. The other one is called the Chitzai. You're only Chayiv on the Panimi, you're not Chayiv on the Chitzai. Why is that? Because the Panimi goes all the way to the bottom, and Chitzai is a bit of a shorty. It's a shorter nerve than the Panimi. Now, which one is the Chitzai or not? On the page that the art school has a picture, they have a machloikis between the Ashkenazim and the Taimina, exactly which part is called the Chitzain. If you want to investigate this further, take a look at the picture at the beginning of the parak in the art school Gemara. And anyway, but for our purposes, says the Gemara, that's why it has to say Hayerach with the Gantzehei, to tell us that in fact the Ginanosha extends from top to bottom, and that's the Panimi guy, because the Chitzain is much shorter, and that's not the Ginanosha that the Torah asked. But nevertheless, which one of the two am I concerned about, the panimi? But only where it's lying on the kaf, because that's where the ikur iser is on the kaf. So, Ibazoi, what do I see from this gemara? Before we finish off the next slide, we see from this gemara that in fact there's a machlok between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, what is considered to be the kaf hayerach for which a person gets malchus if he eats a kezayif. That Shmuel says it's only on the Kafa Yorech, that part which is all the way at the top of the long leg. Mashiach Kerebuta said, no. It goes all the way down towards the bottom. Ah, so now when we said Shmuel on the Amar Aleph said, back, Amar Shmuel, he also told us, Sh'al Kaf Bilvad, Shema Kafa Yorech. So the Papa said, that's a Machloikis Tanoim. It's like a Machloikis between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. And Shmuel holds like Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Yehuda. So it's only the real Isser of Giranosh is only on the Kafa Yorech. Don't you remember at the beginning of the Perek, in the first Mishnah, the Mishnah said that Gid Anoshe is only Shayech Legabi Behemis and Legabi Chayis, but not Legabi Oifois. And the Mishnah said, how do I know not by Oifois? Because it says in the Pasuk, Asher Al Kafa Yorech, and Hotnishka Kafa, and Pei Tes Amid Beis, the Mishnah says, Ve'ena Noyig Be'oif, Nebnesha Ein Lekaf. It doesn't have a Kaf. Oh, see, I need the word Kaf to tell us the din of only Chayis and Behemis, excuse you, and not Oifis. So how are you using this Kaf to go and tell us this halacha that it's got to be only that portion which is on the Kaf? It says, Kaf Trei Kaf Ksidi. It says twice Kaf. Now, where does it say kaf? If you have the Torah or a shalom, very simple. So the fact that the word kaf is repeated twice comes to tell you only behemis and chayis and not oifois. That's one kaf. The other kaf, according to Shmuel, comes to tell you the Yosef Torah Ella. Al kafe yerach. The only gid anosha that you really usher to eat is the top that was on the kafe yerach. Okay, so gemishna vayter yerach shenis bashma. Okay, now from here for the next four or five blat are the famous sugya of Hilchos Taruvis, which is in fact all rabbonim and anybody that wants to get hetayra yori yori wants to get smicha, he has to learn Hilchos Taruvis when you have a mix up between various food items, some which are kosher, some which are not kosher, they unfortunately got mixed into the same pot, or in the same broiler, or whatever. When is it mutter, when is it aser? So all the makoides are over the next few days, and that's why you see, for instance, tomorrow you have a short amud, and tons of toisesin, and of course, even more, rishonim, achroinim, up to today's poskim. When do you have a shayla of taruvis, when you can eat it, you cannot eat it. So we're obviously not going to go through the halacha lemaisa, but at least we're going to go and learn the daf. What are the basics and the sources? So it says our Mishnah, Yerach shenis bashel bo gid hanosha. A person had the yerach. He bought it from a kosher butcher. He was sure that the butcher had removed the gid hanosha, and he didn't think twice, and he took the yerach or part of the yerach, and he cooked it in a soup. And then only afterwards does he realize, hey, what is that stringy thing over there? That's the Gid Anoshe. Obviously he's not going to eat from the Gid Anoshe, but the question is, what about the rest of the soup? What about the meat? What about anything else which is in that pot? Did they become... Oh. So we had, of course, already a machloikis whether Gid Anoshe is nois and tam or not nois and tam. Exactly. Our Mishnah assumes that either it is nois and tam, or even if it's not, you have to... attribute to it as if it was nois in tam, and therefore you have to be careful about any bliois of any of the rest of the pot that was boileia from that gid anoshe, even if the gid anoshe has no tam. But we're going to go and assume as if it were giving tam, and now we have to figure out, can I eat the rest of the contents of the pot? You'll see. Zok the Mishnah. Yerach shen is bashel ba gid anoshe. You have a yerach where gid anoshe was cooked in the yerach, inside the pot. So what do you do now? If it gives tam into the rest of the food items inside that pot, you can feel the tam, then it's awesome. Now the obvious question is, how can I go and feel it? Am I going to go and taste it and say, ui, I feel the gid anoshe? You're not going to taste it if it turns out that the gid anoshe is there. So the same of things implies, of course, b'basar b'cholav, and if you have a piece of chaza flesh that falls into your chulin, or if you have, you're cooking for a meal for a lot of people, and you're cooking 10 chickens, and one chicken turns out to be a Purdue chicken. How can you go and even tell whether it's nice and top? They're all chickens. It's what we call min b'minai. So says the Gemara, how are you going to go and tell? Says the Mishnah, keitz mishar noisa. How are you mishayer whether it's nice and top or not? Rashi points out that we're going to have a mitzvah in the Gemara tomorrow, that there's something known as a kfeila armoy. Kfeila armoy means that you have a non-Jewish chef. Since he's a professional chef, presumably he can go and feel the tam where you need a little bit more salt and a little bit more paprika and a little bit more pepper and all that, because he has a very fine sense of taste. However, what happens over here we didn't have. Or if you say Gid Anoshe is not nois in tam, Or if you say that it's min b'minoi, because even assuming the anosha has a tam, it has a tam like basar. So if you're going cooking with basar, how are you going to go and tell whether it's nois and tam? Even the non-Jewish chef won't be able to tell whether it's nois and tam or not. So what do you do? How do you mishayir it? You shayir it ki basar b'lefes. You deem the yerech that you cooked in it, in other words, the kosher piece of meat, as if it was lefes. Lefes in English is turnip. And you look upon the gid as if it was meat. And now you have to determine if this were not a yerech together with a gid anosha, but instead it would be meat together with turnips, would the meat give a tam into the turnips or not? Where did the Chumim get this very interesting shiur? Says Rashi, it's halacha lemoishe misinai. So much so, says Rashi. Why does the Gemara say that you look upon it as if basar belefes? Lefes is turnips. Why don't you go and say it's as if it's in kruv, which is cabbage, or kaflut, which is leek, L-E-E-K. Why did they say stop the belefes? All of that is based on halacha lemoishe. Now let's look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah, kibasar belefes. Royin, we have to deem it. We look upon this mixture of the yerech and the gid. Ki'ilu, ha-yerech lefasois, as if the yerech was a bunch of turnips, and the gid was a basar. Ve'ilu ha-ya noisin tam basar, kishir ha-gid b'lefasois. If, in fact, I would go and take a parallel pat, and I would take the same volume of basar, just like the volume of the gid, and I took the same volume of lefes as the volume of the yerech, and now I taste it. I'm eating the lefes. I don't taste any of the basar. Then you can go and eat the yerech in the other pot, because you see that the gid did not and could not have given tam into it, because that was the same. I took the same shear, the same volume of the two. Where do I get this shear from? Halacha lo mishri sina, says Rashi. Ugmiri to b'hachem isharina. That was their Kabbalah. Ishmi piish until Moshe Rabbeinu, that was the Masoira, just like you begin the Pirkei Ovois, Moshe Kibbutai Messinai, so the Yeshua and Yeshua, this came to the Nabiyim, and actually the Doyla, 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 that's the Gemiri, the Bahakam Sharin. Avol pi, even though, says Rashi, Shiloh Hayakruv, a kaflet, instead of lefes, if I would take another vegetable, like cabbage or leek, Hayatzarach Pachas Yoyser, maybe to go and give tam in it, I would have to have more meat, or less kruv, or less kaflet. Says Rashi, not determining which is stronger in taste, which is not stronger. He said, that's a lochel mitzinai. You measure it basar be lefes. Continuing on.
Why would we say it's rov b'sheila? I thought it's rov b'sheila.
From the nazir.
I'm assuming the Gemara is going to bring that as well, but like everything else, we don't have kol teri kula al regalachas. We don't have Hill to teach us everything. But Miyat Hashem, we're going to, the 160th is the next Rashi. We haven't gotten to that Rashi yet. But anyway, but bottom line is states on the Mishnah, and yesh ba benois and tam harizura sura kets misharin kibasa b'lefes. Now continue the Mishnah. Gid anosha shenisbashel im ha gidim. Instead of having a gid anosha smack in the middle of a yerach being cooked in a pot, they Balabus, the chef over here, took together all of the gidin. He figured that would have a gidatam from the gid. So he took the gid anosha together with other gidin. Now the question is, can you recognize this gid as opposed to the others? Bizman Shemakira, if you can go and tell this gid, of course, we are not that familiar with gidin, especially since we never get a gid anosha. It's always removed when we buy the piece of meat. But it could very well be that a gid anosha is thicker, it's longer, it's shorter, it has more things sticking out on the sides, in other words, like little nerves coming out. So it could very well be that there are differences between a gid anosha and other nerves. For a person to go and paskin without knowing, he'd have to have a lot of nerve. You have to know what a gid anosha looks like. So the man Shakira, if he is makirit, now the Mishnah leaves out a bissel ikar chosim and a sefer, says Rashi, b'zman shemakiroi, what you got to do is take out that offensive gid anosha and throw it shnell into the garbage. Get rid of it. B'zman shemakiroi, Rashi says, b'zman shemakiroi, says Rashi, mashlich lechutz, take it out. The ein kan, so what am I left with now after I took out that bad gid anosha? I have the rest of the pot and the rest of the gid. So what do I do with them? Ein kana plita. So the only thing which is left is there's no gin and osha left, but I do have the plita. Plita means any the flavors that it had in it. That it,
yes.
Pleat and Leah are the same thing. One is the benefactor, one is the recipient. It's like when you give tzedakah. Oh, you have two people giving tzedakah. Yeah, one's giving, the other one's receiving. So the plita is the gitanosha that's poilate, that yeah, exactly. Good. Very good. So here too, the one that's poilate is the gitanosha, the one that's poileya is the rest of the content of the pot. It's good? Fine. It's manchima kiroi. Take it out, they get a nosh and throw it away. The rest of the pad is benoisin tam. Now the question is, how much is benoisin tam? So let's just finish off this shtikula. The imlav, what happens if I cannot recognize which one is the gid anosha? Then by definition, kulan asur. And then I have to take all 5 or 10 or 20 gidim and I have to throw them all out. Because if I'm going to eat one of those gidim, maybe that gid that I'm eating is not gid to eat. Because maybe that's the gid anosha. Rashi is going to tell us that the Gemara is going to ask us a Mietchim tomorrow, the next day, why don't you say it's Batul Barayif? If I have 10 other Gim together with this Gid Anasha, let it be Batul. Okay, Mietchim Shem, we're going to talk about this further. So that's all vis-a-vis the Gidin inside. That if you're Makir, throw out the bad Gid Anasha. If you're not Makir, then all of them are Asr. Varoita, but the gravy or the soup which is left behind, that's the Shir of Noisintan. Now, how are you going to be Mishayer the din of noisin tam? So if you look at the Rashi over here, the im lav kulan asurin, you see that Rashi? The b'chol echad yeshloim ezehu, maybe that's the bad guy, that's the gid anosha. Rigmara parich, the bottle beruba, let it be bottle be right. Okay, so that's vis-a-vis the gidim themselves. What about the soup? Going back to the previous Rashi, benoisin tam, says Rashi, em yesh benoisin tam b'chol elu, kulan asurin. If in fact that offensive gid anosha gives tam in not only the gidim but also in the roitim, then everything is awesome. Patience is a virtue. Well, the common mefarish. What's patience? By a doctor, right? Well, the common mefarish. The noisin tam the min the minoi shein odem yochel havchinoi. If you cannot tell, because it's min the min, what's the shir?
Shishin.
Just like you said. Shkoya, thank you for helping us out, Moshe Chaim, as always. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, Zok the Mishnah Vaitim. So that's what the Gid Anoshim Gidim. V'chaim says now the Mishnah, don't think that this is only halach, which is miyuchad, special, only Gid Anoshim. This is kol ha-teira kula. V'chaim chaticha shonaveila. You have a whole pot full of kosher meat, and unfortunately one piece of nevela meat fell in. Or you're cooking fish, and all of the fish is salmon, or white fish, or kosher fish, and then one piece of dag tame fell into that same pot. If he recognizes which one is the nevela meat, or which one is the dag tame, like Rashi said before, mashlichai, take it out, remove it, throw it in the garbage. Then, however, what happens to the rest of the soup or the rest of the fish, then you've been noisin tam. The imlam, and if you cannot recognize which is the offensive piece of nevela meat, or which one is the offensive dag tame, then kulan asurai. Then you have to go and throw out all of the pieces of meat and all of the pieces of dag. Why don't we go basar shishim? Basar roiv. Rashi already told us, Gemara is going to ask that kasha. What about after you have either remove the offensive dag tame or piece of meat, or you removed all of them because ain't a makir? What's it in the roitim? Roitim and oisim tam. Whatever is left behind, the soup. It doesn't have to only be the soup. In the soup, you might also have carrots, shagrepo. You might have in it also some other celery or gourds or whatever you cook in your soup. Turnips, exactly. Whatever you cook in your soup. All of that, you have to see benoisin tam. If you can go and benoisin tam, you can give it to a kfeila armor. This is already no longer min de minai, because after all, these are two separate minai. You have the vegetables and whatever, and the soup, and then you have that gid, or you have the bad nevela, etc. So if you have a kfeila armor, you'll have him go and taste it and say, yo, I feel the tam, and you're going to have to throw the whole thing out. If you don't have such a kfeila armor, then you're going to go b'shishim, like Rashi said earlier. Mechem, all of this will be developed further tomorrow in the next few days in the Gemara. Talk to you about Omishmur. That we talked about the Noisin Tam, we're talking about that it was Nispasha. Nispasha, Bishul, as you know, means cooking, as opposed to Tzli, where's the classic case where the Torah distinguishes between by carbon Pesach? So Amish what? Lo yishon al nishpashul ba. Then you have all the concerns of our Mishnah of the Nois and Tam, and you might have to throw everything out. Avol nitzlef ba. What happens in the case of the Gin Anoshe, which was inside the Gid? It was Sunday afternoon, and might gemachta a barbecue. In other words, they did a tzli, a roasting, instead of cooking in a pot. Then koylif ba'oichel ad shemagia legit. What you can do is, koylif is a lashon of klipa, which means you just peel off the rest of the flesh until you get to the git. Once you get to the git, stop over there. And the Mephoshim add, I think, Toysis and other Mephoshim say, we don't mean literally, oh, you see the two Toysis from the bottom. Lav davka ad shemagia legit ma'amish. The tershiniyah, could they klipa us some of the git, which means here you're not worrying about that the nois and tam is in the whole kit and caboodle, all of the basar that is in that yerech. Instead, what you could do is, I'm in it. Instead, what you do is you remove all of the basar until you get to the gid, and then leave behind kidei klipa, which means a very, very thin layer of meat, exactly a thin layer, thank you, which you leave behind together with the gid. But everything else you can go and eat, and I don't have to worry about that the nois and tam in all the rest. That's a loch of Shmuel. Nitzla ba koylif va'oichel ad shemigil again. Frank Timur Aini. Vam Rav Huna gidi shetzolei b'chalbay. Chalbay means in its chalif. If a gidi that you did a tzli in its chalif with its own fat, the oster fat, oser lechol afil meroish oznoi. You now let it eat even from the head, the top of its ear. What does Timur mean? You took a full gidi, yeah. Just like they have, you see the Thanksgiving dinner, they always show pictures as if you see the ganta toiki. From the whole thing that it was, yeah, 100%. You'll have so here too the whole gedi. They went and with toilet the chalav, leaving the chalav inside without removing the chalav. Then not only the regular gedi and all the parts of the gedi which are touching the chalav, but even the reisha oizen all the way up to the ear. The ear doesn't have any chalav in it. Nevertheless, everything is usher. Oh, so you see, even through tzli. It goes and it spreads from one end to the other. So why don't you say the same thing with the Gavi the Gid Anoshe? It's nispashit in the entire basar. Why is it enough to be koylev the oichel? Everything more shani. Chaylev the mefafeya. Chaylev is totally different than Gid Anoshe. Gid Anoshe is just stands there and doesn't do anything. Chaylev, however, permeates. It spreads because after all, the chaylev it dissolves, and therefore it's going to permeate the entire gidi. Even all the way up till the oizen, it's going to dissolve and spread all over. So when you're talking about a gid which doesn't spread, gid is like a piece of holtz, as we had a couple of days ago in the morning, just like a piece of wood. It doesn't spread, it doesn't dissolve, it doesn't disperse, it just remains in place. So therefore, if you did a tzli, just be koylev oichel. However, you're talking about anything dealing with chaylev, that permeates the whole system, even to roish chelva, even roish osnai, and it'll be awesome. We'll stop over here. Rabbi Yisai mentioned that we continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.